Get ready to take a look behind the scenes and enter the impossible for the Between Two Minds podcast with our hosts, Judge Mentalist and Bernardo Rodriguez. Can they really tell you what you're thinking?
What up, what up, what up?
What's going on, everybody? This is Judge Mentalist with Bernardo, my man. We are Between Two Minds, bringing you behind the scenes. This week, we're going to talk about the 2024 Performing Hypnosis Summit that was the first weekend in February at the Orleans Casino in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada.
Heck yeah.
So, yeah, it was, this was so the funny thing is, this is the first hypnosis convention that I ever attended. And I was also a presenter at the event. So that was really cool too. So Performing Hypnosis, there's a lot of different hypnosis conventions that are out there. Some of them are tailored almost exclusively to clinical. Some of them are a blend. This is the only one that I'm aware of that is exclusively geared towards stage and street performers. And so that was kind of cool. This is actually the second year that they've done this convention, and it's the first year that they've done it live. So in 2023, they did it, but it was 100% virtual. It was all online. And this year they did it, and it was kind of a hybrid. So some people presented online and attended online, and then there was a whole mess of people that were there live. So it was really cool. I did a talk on kind of my path, really, is what I talked about, how I went from, how I got into performing, how that evolved over the years to really getting into that mentalism groove, and then how everything changed when I learned and started doing hypnosis. And, there's not a lot of demonstration that happens, demo and explanation in these hypnosis conventions. And especially for something like this, we're not necessarily talking about techniques in some of these sessions. A lot of what we're talking about, there might be a breakout and a lecture about marketing or about building a show or about sound and lighting and equipment and things like that. Because, it's not like in the world of magic, there's thousands and thousands of different types of routines using different methods. So there are a different type of teachable moment. Here, most performing hypnotists that have done, 10, 20, 30 shows or more kind of have their shit together. So at least from the, hey, I can go do my show. And, it then becomes okay, so how do I take it to the next level? How do I make it better? How do I layer in the right sound, the right lighting? How do I, we had a guy that did a lecture on setting up cue labs for both the audio and the visual components and everything like that. I decided to take two of the routines that I will do in my mentalism show, if I have to do a mentalism show, which again, my preference is to, if you see, there's a chance that if you see Bernardo on our website doing just a mentalism show, that it was something that he booked directly. But there's also a chance that it was somebody that approached me and I was like, well, if you don't want hypnosis, hire Bernardo to do mentalism. not that I don't want to do the show, but I kind of want to stay in my lane. But what I have done is, for when I do have to do mentalism shows, is I've started to retool routines that I liked from when I was only doing mentalism to add a hypnotic component to them. So I'm not hypnotizing anybody when I'm doing a mentalism show, but that mentalism show starts with basically the same version or an adapted for the room version of the intro that I do in every show, explaining what hypnosis is, what it isn't, examples in your everyday life, et cetera, et cetera. If you've seen the show, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you've seen my mentalism show or any mentalism presentation that I've done in the past year, you've seen this intro. So, I mean, hell, if you came to, I think it was the Elkton Magic Show where Peter Wood was performing and doing the fundraiser for Youth Empowerment Source, I opened with this, and the reaction, especially when I got to, like, I had two other things on the set that I was planning on doing, but the reaction that I got to the pendulum work at the end of that routine was so strong that I was like, okay, cool. I'm just going to end it there because I was on such a high note. The stuff that I had planned on following it was not going to be that strong. It wasn't even going to be close. So I just cut it there. Sometimes performing is about knowing when you're at the peak and to stop. Sure. It's not always that way, but I definitely felt like it was at that point in time. So, you know, I've got a memory loss mentalism routine that I lectured, also had available for sale. Some people bought some of those. And I kind of walked through the process of what that was and how that was developed. And then I performed and lectured on the newest version of the staple gun routine, which is an adaptation of Christopher Carter's staple gun routine that I have turned inside out. And thanks to some notes and suggestions from Jeff Eline, I now do a version of that where instead of three of the four staple guns being filled with staples, three of the four are empty, which means three of them get fired into my body and only one at the very end gets fired into the board. And I have now added a component to it so that instead of me just saying, hey, I'm going to try to influence you, the person who's making the choices on who gets what staple gun, I actually do a little kind of quasi pendulum. I do the pendulum thing with the group of five people. Usually sometimes, like I did actually the same weekend, I performed at Stacey Stardust Secret Circus, which is a once a month variety show in Las Vegas, which is pretty kick ass. So I performed both in the first half and the second half of that show. The first half of that show, I did my hypnosis intro and the pendulum thing. And from that point, I chose and identified one person who was having the greatest reaction by far to the pendulum and said, hey, as long as you don't mind, I'm going to bring you up on stage in the second half and we're going to work together on something special I have just for you. That person, when I got back to the second half, I said, my friend, come on up. She was the one that was making the decisions on where the staple guns went. There's actually a clip of the whole routine is not online. The whole routine is not online because the current iteration of that is being considered for a television appearance. So I can't put it out there publicly at this point in time. I can't really say anything more than what I already have. But you can kind of read between the lines and tell where that might be going. And so ultimately I do this kind of quasi look at my fingertips, look at my hands, and then I kind of touch their shoulder, I touch their forearm, I say a few words, and I kind of give this impression as if maybe if you haven't seen hypnosis before and you think that it's just straight up snap your fingers voodoo shit, you might think I have this person hypnotized to make the right decisions. Although there's really no instruction after that. It's not like I'm saying, hey, go give that one to person four, you know, or that you're going to want to give this one to person three or anything. None of that happens. So there's no like me communicating to them. I'm just kind of giving them this impression that I'm going to give you the power to feel which ones are right and where they need to go. So I lectured on that and explained it. So that went really, really well. It was awesome to get out, you know, especially being newer into the world of hypnosis, to meet some other people in person. Like, it's not to say that I haven't met a bunch of people in person before, but to have a whole mess of people. I also, you know, it was in Vegas, so Kevin Lapine was there. I got to go to Kevin's show a couple more times and hang out with him. And that's always a treat. I feel like every time, it doesn't matter how much that he continues to do an ever-evolving version of his show, I always pick up something new. There's always something I can learn from watching him do that show, no matter how much, you know, the on my end, what was kind of a mini 45-minute version of me doing his show is slowly evolving. You know, it's changing pretty much. I try to kind of tweak things every time I do it. So it's becoming more and more my show. And I would say by this time next year, it's going to be, you know, very much my show with some homage to where it started and Kevin. So, you know, that's kind of a fun thing. And, you know, I've got an announcement for two things that are coming up, which I'm not going to make in this episode. I'll save it for a future one that are really going to be places in which there's an evolution to that show. So, yeah, it was a good time. Great to meet a bunch of new people, all of who obviously have their own new different perspectives, experiences, and everything like that. And, you know, Vegas is always a good time. So I'm never mad about that.
Yeah. Now, is there already kind of a thing for the next one of these? Like, is there a registration set up? Do you plan on going to the next one? I'm assuming this was a positive experience.
Yeah, I mean, I've been asked back, so I'm going to be presenting at 2025.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I learned, I'm glad you asked this, because not just for me to tout that I'm going to go back and speak at it again, which is also, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the one thing that I learned that really came as a surprise to me, even with what I know about the magic world, because like in the magic world, there's a ton of learners, there's a ton of collectors, there's a ton of hobbyists that never want to perform, but they'll pack, like they'll get what, 1600 or 1900 people at Magic Live. I don't remember what the number is, but it's one of those two numbers is the cutoff for Magic Live. And they sell that thing out months ahead of time every year. Mm-hmm. But there are people, the vast majority of those people aren't going to ever go on a stage. There's some street performers and things like that. But, you know, I was surprised to learn how much of that was relevant in the hypnosis world. And then in talking and networking with people since, I've learned that, yeah, there's a similar sort of thing. The good thing, so what I'm doing for next year is the tentative title of my lecture for PHS next year is Surviving Year One is a Street Hypnotist. So I'm going to go through some of the do's and don'ts, things to avoid, things that you need to make sure that you do. And really, one of the main messages is going to be is to get off your ass and go do that first show. So many people invest so much time and so much money into learning this and then don't take that next step. And when you don't take that next step and a lot of time passes, you may never take that step. And I know from experience that once I did that first show, which was, you know, like a month or so after learning everything, I was hooked. I was done. There was no turning back.
Same.
You know, I'm giving paid gigs to Bernardo here that are mentalism because all I want to do is hypnosis. And I'm not mad about it. And you're not mad about it.
Hey.
And, you know, like it's great. And a lot of people got to get over that hump. And then you got to learn the lesson that there's a lot of people out there that just want to sell you a bunch of shit. So avoid them. So that's the plan for 2025's Performing Hypnosis Summit. They're going to be renovating the Orleans. So it's actually going to be at a different casino called Gold Coast, owned by the same people. So that one, that the Gold Coast is actually, if anybody's familiar with Vegas, it's an off-strip casino that sits right beside the Rio.
Ooh, I don't like the Rio.
Yeah, the Rio's, well, whatever. Rio's got new ownership and they've renovated it or in the process of renovating it. So I will.
I don't like it because I'm scared of heights and their windows drop to the floor. We don't mess with those.
Oh.
Mine's is a selfish reason.
Okay, fair enough. You're more the kind of person that likes there to be a window inside of your shower, like there is in every room.
Oh my God. The little.
It's fucking weird, isn't it?
No, wait. No, that's just your rooms. The Rio had the little peep window. So like at the beds can peek into the shower.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The weirdest thing I've ever seen. But
anyway. I haven't stayed at the Rio since 2019. There was a trip that was not supposed to be a solo trip to Las Vegas that turned into becoming a solo trip. Because I had two other people. My wife was going on an all-inclusive trip with a bunch of like 40 women from the area. Some travel agent set this thing up or whatever. I said, okay, if you're going to do that, I'm going to go to Vegas for the weekend. I had two guys that I was like, hey, we got to go to Vegas. This is the weekend. I'm going to get a room at the Rio, because at that point in time, I had no clout, no status. I was not the degenerate that I am today. And so I couldn't get a room at whatever size I want, wherever I want, at no cost. So got the room at the Rio because it's an all, quote unquote, at the time was the all suites hotel, which meant we would have two adult sized beds. I don't remember whether they were, you know, queens or doubles or whatever. And then there'd be a couch that would have a pull out bed in it. So three people, three beds. So nobody's sharing beds. Nobody's doing the head to toe bullshit. Nobody's sleeping straight up on a couch unless they choose to. And then like I booked early. I want to say that I booked in like September of that year, of the year before, because the trip was in January. Wow. And I want to say that I got my round trip flight for less than $200. These guys dicked around. And by the time that they decided that they were going to be able to go, the flights were like $1,600 for them or something crazy. And they're like, we're out. So I ended up going to Vegas by myself, which was fine. I've done that numerous times. I'm completely comfortable doing that, especially at this point, because when I'm in Vegas, I feel like a local now because I know where so many things are, not just on the strip, but off the strip. And I just have an incredible amount of comfort being out there in different things. So, that's Vegas. That's the 2024 wrap of the Performing Hypnosis Summit and the the preview of 2025. I actually just signed my contract today. I'll be speaking at the Michigan Hypnosis Conference, which is one of those that's a blend between both performance and clinical. So the whole spectrum is going to be covered there. I quite frankly don't remember what I put in as my topic. So I'm going to have to get that from them. So I actually present on what they anticipate me presenting on. such as life. So also I want to use this as an opportunity to plug one of our upcoming shows. I know that we're doing a little bit of a backlog of content here, and we're probably going to end up dropping like four or five episodes on you all at once, or maybe we space them out over 2 weeks. Who knows? Who cares? But go to our website, betweentwominds.com, betweentwominds.com. We got a really important show coming up, and we're in the works of signing a couple more important shows that are fundraisers for local organizations. We will talk about the show that we did in Atlanta. We will talk about the show that we did for Cecil College in future episodes. Those are all fundraiser shows that, you know, we're raising money for organizations. April 27th, we are at Northeast High School doing a fundraiser for their marching band so they can buy new uniforms. There are both VIP and regular seating available. Those tickets just recently went on sale, so there's, at this point in time, there's plenty available, but we suspect that especially as we get closer to that show with the focus that is happening in this county on funding certain elements of our school, we expect a bunch of people to jump on board with that. Come see us on April 27th.
Yeah, I'm excited. And is that all we want to talk about?
That's probably all I've got from the Performing Hypnosis Summit. It was a good time. I really look forward to doing the next one. A lot of great people. And, that's what it's about. So.
Hell yeah. Well, thanks for joining us, guys. Until next time.
Thank you for tuning in to the Between Two Minds Behind the Scenes podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media under Between Two Minds with the number 2 instead of TWO, or under Enter the Impossible. Thank you, and we hope to see you back for the next episode.